everybody. This is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 53. Hope you're doing well today. Got a fun show lined up for you. We're going to go over the characters in one of my favorite Christmas shows of all time, Heat Miser and Snow Miser from The Year Without a Santa Claus. And we're also going to review a couple of the special features on the 40-Year-Old Virgin DVD. Certainly one of the funniest films of the year. So we got some emails, some voicemail fun, and all sorts of surprises. So I hope you enjoy what I like to call the podcast of love. So without further ado, let's talk about The Year Without a Santa Claus. Now, I'm a big-time fan of the great puppet animation Christmas specials by Rankin and Bass. From Santa Claus Has Come Into Town to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, they've never failed to please. But my favorite, though, without a doubt, is 1974's A Year Without a Santa Claus. Mickey Rooney, who played Santa Claus in the Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, returns as Santa, and Shirley Booth, who you might remember as TV's Hazel, that sexy red-headed little vixen there, does a fantastic job as Mrs. Claus. But it's the incredible and all-too-brief appearances by Snow Miser and Heat Miser that make this an all-time classic. And the two brothers just don't get along. Just like Pat Benatar said in her song Fire and Ice, where you come on like a flame, but you turn a cold shoulder. I don't know why I said that, but it does sound kind of good. But who's really the better of the two Miser brothers? Is it Mr. 101 or Mr. 10 Below? Hopefully we'll settle this once and for all. And we're going to have a special poll where you can vote on this by calling our voicemail hotline so you can argue for yourself. But let's hear what each of these folks has to say. You can decide for yourself. So first let's hear from the legendary Snow Miser.
Here he comes now, the big hand.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow.
I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. Ha
ha! I'm too much. Ha!
He's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow. He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Ten Below.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
He's too much.
I never wanna know a day that's over 40 degrees. I'd rather have a 30, 20, 10, 5, and let it freeze.
He's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow.
That's right.
He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Ten Below.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. Too much.
Too much.
Wow, he sure is too much, if you know what I mean. Well, let's hear from Mr. Heat Miser. See what he has to say about this.
Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser, whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas, he's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister, he's Mr. 101.
They call me
like clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you. I never want to know a day that's under 60 degrees. I'd rather have it 80, 90, 100 degrees. Oh, some like it hot, but I like it really hot.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun.
Sing it!
He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
Too much!
Well, it's a difficult choice indeed. Now, you know, Snow Miser, known as also Mr. White Christmas, lives in the North Pole and enjoys the cold. He sits in an icy chair and has icicles of snot growing off his gigantic nose. The effects of the frigid temperature he dwells in have an embarrassing shrinkage effect on his unmentionables, which make him extra cranky, but his ability to make warm beer ice cold simply by touching it make him indispensable at parties. Snow Miser was played by Dick Shawn, who also played Jack Tripper's father on Three's Company. He was featured in the Michael Jackson epic Captain EO, and he died of a heart attack while performing on stage in 1986. Now that's pretty hardcore, you gotta admit. Now Heat Miser, also known as Mr. Green Christmas, lives in the bowels of hell itself. While eating fire and turning everything he touches into molten goo, he basks in the fiery glory and keeps his icy brother Snow from affecting the South by turning it to rain. Heat Miser was played by George S. Irving, who also provided voice work as Running Board in the short-lived cartoon Go, Go, Gophers. Now, perhaps one of the creepiest yet fascinating aspects of the Miser Brothers are that they have miniature versions of themselves that are ready to dance and sing show tunes with them at a moment's notice. Long before Dr. Evil had a mini-me version of himself made to stave off loneliness, these two made multiple tiny copies that could shake a leg like nobody else. Snow Miser had little buddies who wore top hats and danced with precision and grace. And Heat Miser had little dudes as well. So, in fact, Heat Misers were a little more versatile because they not only could do hats, dancing, and singing, but they could also hop around on shovels as if they were some sort of a crazy-shaped shovel-hopping device. So, finally, we have the great song. Snow Miser has a song about himself that goes, "I'm Mr. White Christmas," while Heat Miser sings the exact same arrangement, but merely changes the lyrics a bit. Now, I'm not sure which one came first, as you heard, but they're both pretty good. So, I'd like to hear from you. Which one do you like the best, Heat Miser or Snow Miser? And you can call our Retro Crush hotline at 916-231-9480. Or you can email us at rberry@retrocrush.com. Or you could go to the Retro Crush forums. Just go to retrocrush.com and click the forums button, and there's, oh, people have been debating this for years, and finally you can weigh in on this earth-shattering argument. All right. Last week I got a copy of the new movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Actually, it's not new, but it just got put on DVD. But certainly one of the funniest films of the year. If you haven't seen it yet, certainly go out and rent it. And I'm hoping we're going to get some giveaway copies of it shortly. We're still working it out with the folks at Universal there. They made a mistake and only sent me a review copy. But hopefully I'm going to have three of them to give away. But this is just a great DVD that's full of tons of extras. If you get it, make sure you get the unrated cut, because it's got about 18 minutes of new footage put into the film. And this is actually just good stuff. They clearly just had to cut it because the movie was running too long. But there's a lot of great extra bits. There's a bit where Steve Carell's character, Andy, calls a kind of like a Viagra helpline. If you took too much Viagra and you can't get rid of your erection, they'll help you out. And it's a guy in India because, of course, all the telemarketing helps outsource to India right now. And And he didn't actually buy the product, so the scene's real funny with him talking with him about that. But I've got a couple of the extras on here I'd like to play for you. One of the best bits in the film was two characters who go back and forth saying, well, you know how I know you're gay? In fact, here's a piece from the original scene here.
You gay now?
No, I'm not gay. I'm just celibate.
I mean, that sounds gay. I just want you to know that this is, like, the first conversation of, like, three conversations that leads to you being gay. Like, there's this, and then in a year it's like, oh, you know, I'm kind of gonna want to get back out there, but I think I like guys. And then there's the big, oh, I'm a gay guy now.
You're gay for saying that.
I'm gay for saying that?
You know how I know you're gay?
How? How do you know I'm gay?
Because you macrame'd yourself a pair of jean shorts.
You know, I know you're gay. You just told me you're not sleeping with women anymore.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
You like Coldplay. Oh, you're dead. You're dead.
Oh! Oh! Leave my torso alone at least.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How?
You like the movie Made in Manhattan?
You know I know you're gay?
How?
I saw you make a spinach dip in a loaf of sourdough bread once.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How?
You have a rainbow bumper sticker on your car that says, I love it when balls are in my face.
That's gay?
God damn it!
I'm ripping your head off right now. It's off, and now I'm throwing it at your body. Fuck you!
Oh.
You know how I know you're gay? You listen to the Drink Till We're Funny podcast. Well, anyway, here's the extended version of this scene. It's actually all different. What's really great about the film's director, Judd Apatow, who also wrote the film, he really got such a great cast together that he was able to just kind of let them do their own thing. And in some of these extended scenes, it's just them ad-libbing just some hilarious stuff. I'm going to play two of these scenes for you here, the first of which is a big, long, extended riff of the You Know How I Know You're Gay sequence that you just heard, and then we're going to follow it up with another one that where one of the characters just talks about all the different ways that he masturbates that's pretty funny.
Get motherfucker.
Ah!
Come on.
You know how much time I waste on women? You know, I wanted to go to culinary school. I wanted to open up a restaurant. I was always so busy about dipping my wick that I never even focused at all. And now that I'm celibate...
You're going to open a restaurant?
Not really.
Yeah. Ha! You didn't even touch me, man.
Flawless victory.
But that's about to change. I feel great.
You look really depressed.
I look great.
I've never seen you more miserable in my life.
I feel like a new man.
You're going to kill yourself, aren't you?
I feel like 10 men.
How are you going to do it when you do it?
You know what? You're totally not listening to me here.
Are you going to do it at work?
I've discovered a new lease on life, all because I don't want to put penis in vagina.
Just don't do it somewhere I'll find you, because that would be gross to have to see.
I am not going to kill myself.
Would you get run over by a car?
Head in the oven.
Does that even work, head in the oven?
I don't know. Isn't that how people do it?
I feel like you just light your hair on fire.
What the hell do you even know about that stuff?
I know about lots of stuff. I research everything because of my novel.
Do you write, like, gay detective stories?
Yeah, that's funny. No, I'm writing a very hard-hitting...
Are you writing one now called Private Dick?
It is actually about the army.
That sounds gay.
It's not gay, okay? It's about a guy who wants to make his father happy, so he joins the military. And he goes AWOL and travels America, running from the government and learning to love himself.
Yeah, that sounds gay.
He actually does turn out to be gay. Could you tell just from the description that he turns out to be gay? Should I change that?
I think you can tell that the writer's gay.
He's not gay. It's artistic. You're gay.
You're so gay.
You're gay because Amy told me that you had trouble getting it up a few times.
You're gay for saying that.
You're the gay one.
You're so gay.
You're so fucking gay.
You're so gay.
Yeah.
That
you're gay.
Just because I wear unscuffed construction boots, some really small jean shorts, and drink a lot of tea doesn't make me gay. Wanting to suck on your balls makes me gay.
That's what makes you gay, yeah. Well, I'm glad you found that out. But even gay people aren't celibate. You should just accept it and go with it.
I am going with the celibacy, I'm telling you, man.
What does that mean?
It means I'm not having sex.
Well, can you masturbate?
Yeah, you can masturbate.
Could you fuck like a couch or something?
I mean, I suppose you could and technically still be celibate. I mean,
that's good.
But I'm not going to hump a couch.
Could you hump an ottoman?
I think that still falls under the couch category.
Could you, like, fuck a melon? Could you cut a hole in a cantaloupe and do it?
You could do that, too.
Could you fuck, like, a glove full of jelly?
Yeah, you could fuck a glove. I mean, that's just creepy.
It's not celibate, man. You could fuck, like, a dozen things still. That's not celibate.
Yeah, but the one thing is that all those things you just named are inanimate objects. You know, it's not like you're...
A glove full of jelly will move. Can you grind on a stuffed animal?
Yeah. You know what else I could do? Is I could probably pig blap you in the face. Give you a mushroom tattoo.
That's very good.
Shoot it in your eye.
You've literally lost what little mind you had, okay? You just gotta realize you can't give up. There is a girl for everyone, man. Woody Allen is married.
Yeah, to his daughter.
Still, if you married your daughter, I would be very happy for you. So this whole thing is just like the first step to being gay. That's how I read this, you know? Like, right now it's like, oh, I don't like women. And then in a year it's like, oh, I'm gonna try doing men for a while. And then you're gay. That's it. I just don't
you
respect.
Would know,
I'll tell you what I don't respect is that your lack of commitment to it. Just jump in, dick first, if you're going for it. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of like you.
I'm not. You're gay, not me. Okay.
You know how I know you're gay?
How am I gay?
You've seen Rent 3 times.
Being who appreciate music and dance and doing guys in the ass is not the same thing. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, but all 3 of those things comprise the musical Rent.
Oh! Foot sweep! Again with the foot sweep, man! Come on!
You know how I know that you're gay?
No.
2 words. Fanny pack.
You know how I know you're gay?
Huh?
You're wearing baby blue track pants.
Yeah, I give that to you, actually. You know how I know that you're gay?
How?
You tried to put a glory hole in the bathroom at Smart Tech.
You know how you know you're gay?
How?
You look at me sometimes in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just, your lip quivers.
Mm-hmm.
Looks gay.
Well, it's just because you seem nice. You know how I knew you were gay?
How'd you know I was gay?
You gave me a reach around when you mounted me.
That's just considerate, okay? That's not gay.
You know how I know that you're gay?
How?
You put your penis inside of guys' assholes.
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
Your dick tastes like shit.
Ah! Oh, shitty, man. Come on.
Oh, man.
I just killed you, you son of a bitch.
Oh, fuck.
So, wow, yeah, it's a... One of the great many features on here. And this second one is going to be a scene with Andy and Cal, I think is his name, in the stockroom. And poor Andy is wanting to be anywhere but listening to this horrible long tirade about all the different ways that Cal masturbates.
You know, I whack off like quite a bit. Like,
you do?
I mean, I don't know what's... I mean, average, I guess. But I'm always trying to like think of new things to whack off to. And for a while, it was just, I was into celebrities, you know, like, you know, nip slips. You ever go look for nip slips? You find, name a celebrity, I will find you their nipple in 2 minutes.
Yep.
I'll get you any celebrity's nipple. But, you know, and then after the whole nipple thing wore off, you know, you want more eventually. I started getting into, like, just people, like, posing, like, artsy black and white shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to whack off to, though, because, you know, it's not... So it's very pretty, you know. Sometimes you just want something dirty, like
yes.
Really dirty to whack off to.
Yeah.
I have whacked off to some crazy things. And then just I try to mix it up with how I actually masturbate, you know, like I'll use, you know, just I'll go dry and then I'll use lotions, but every lotion's a little different, you know.
They are.
Sometimes the smell of a certain lotion just won't agree with you, but I did use one lotion so much every time I smell tea tree oil, I get a boner. Just from muscle memory, yeah.
That's good news.
It's weird. I humped a couch once.
Wow.
I humped my ottoman at home.
Yeah.
I've humped my pillow. I've humped... I put a towel over my dresser and I humped that.
Yeah.
I tried humping a lazy boy.
How did that work out?
Good. I humped the couch in the sound room over there. Don't sit on the left side.
Okay.
I've humped... I've humped a fold-out couch, which was kind of like humping a bed and humping a couch. You ever masturbate to just, like, nothing? Like, literally just nothing? Just clear your head and then see just what your body would do? I've done that. It's like it feels much more like Zen, kind of.
Yeah.
You can masturbate to nothing. It's like in Ghostbusters where they say, clear your head, you know? It's like that, and I masturbate to that. And sometimes the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man pops in just because of the movie. I like it a lot, but...
Okay.
You can masturbate to nothing. That's why I don't get guys saying, I don't like this porn, I don't like that porn, because you can masturbate to nothing. So, like, why get picky over what porn you're looking at when you're lucky you're even looking at porn, or you don't even need it? You can whack off to nothing.
I'm sure that's true.
And I'm sure there's some sick folks out there that masturbate to this show. And for those of you out there, I salute you. Well, you know, it's about time for something we haven't done in a while. Yes. Yes, indeed. You know it's true. It's time for Retro Crush voicemail and email, too. We had a contest with a winner. Oh, let's go over it now before I think of something stupider to say. La 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 la. Wow, I'm so sorry about that, folks. That was just hideous. Well, anyway, on the front page of Retro Crush, we have a contest going on, and I'll just read you the rules here. It says, MacGyver Season 4 is coming out on DVD, and we're giving away a copy to a lucky Retro Crush reader and or listener. Just email contests at retrocrush.com and let us know what you would invent using a paper clip, a chocolate bar, a silicone implant, and a jar of anal lube, and the best entry will win the set. And the deadline is this Friday, December 23rd, so don't miss out. And it's the best TV series to star a Richard Marx lookalike since the ill-fated Super Mullet Man from 1981, so don't miss out. Well, Nick Brown of Florida was our first entry, and let me tell you, I think he may run away with this. His entry says, take the silicone implant and poke a small hole in it with the paper clip. Now drain about half of the silicone out and replace it with anal lube. Be careful. It's explosive. Now take the paper clip and coat one end with chocolate. Stick it back in the hole of the silicone and lube, and the chocolate should act as a seal to keep it in. Next, set it back to one of those 80s-style Jeeps with the extra gas cans on the back. When the sun heats up the paper clip, it should cause a massive explosion to knock out all the bad guys in the area and make them shoot machine guns at everything but you. If placed correctly, you may take out other vehicles as well. Note, this does not ever work on Murdoch. He is invincible. If all goes according to plan, you and guest star Terry Hatcher could escape unharmed. And he goes on to add, or you just take the chocolate and bite down hard on it, take the paper clip and gouge out both eyes, go ahead and take the lube and, well, you know where, and bend over and rest your head on the implant. Perfect. Now you are ready to enjoy. Cheaper by the dozen, too. All senses have been blocked. If I'm going to be in that much pain, I'm going to do it to myself. Well, thanks, Nick. That's a heck of an entry. I'd also like to take some time here to play a couple voicemails. Again, you can always call the voicemail hotline at 916-231-9480. And we got a couple here to share with you. Actually, wow, that was a voicemail from a Defender arcade game. That was pretty cool. Well, here's another voicemail.
Robert Berry. This is Jake from Kalamazoo. You are officially the first podcast I have ever called, so consider yourself very lucky. Just got done listening to episode 52, which was really cool to hear your young self. Just wanted to comment that last part where you were talking about the 32 days, you sounded a lot like, what was it, Little Ricky, the abortion from a while back. I think you should maybe play those back to back and maybe compare. Maybe you were channeling him from beyond the grave. So anyways, love the podcast. Only constructive criticism, that sound effect at the very beginning of the podcast is really loud. Every time I play one of your podcasts, I have to turn it down. But other than that, it's really great, and really like the Martin Sargent interview as well. His podcasts are cool, and it's cool hearing you guys talk. So, like I said, love the podcast, and talk to you later. Bye.
Wow, I never thought about that. Do I really sound like that little abortion baby? We'll have to do a comparison in a future podcast for sure. But here is our next voicemail from Bud.
Hey, Robert, this is Bud. I just listened to your show with the childhood rhyme songs thing, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and it brought back a couple that I thought I'd share with you. The first one being the Comet Cleanser song. We used to sing that to the Bridge on the River Kwai song. It would go something like, Comet will make your lips turn green. Comet, it tastes like gasoline. Comet will make you vomit. So you use Comet and vomit all day. That was a good one. The other one is the Whistle While You Work song. And I don't know if you ever heard this growing up, but we used to sing it all the time. And it provokes some interesting discussion. The song is basically sung to Whistle While You Work. It goes something like, Whistle while you work, Hitler is a jerk, Mussolini bit his peenie, now it doesn't work. I always liked that one. What's interesting here is that I never could quite straighten out whether did Mussolini bite Hitler's peenie, or did Mussolini bite his own peenie? And we discussed this ad infinitum, and we never really come to a conclusion. I personally think Mussolini bit his own peenie. But I think that's up for you to decide. Anyway, I love your show, and, see you later.
Yeah, I think scholars on the History Channel devoted a special episode to that rhyme, and they did determine that Mussolini was quite flexible and rather endowed, and he actually did bite his own peenie. So good of you to pick up on that, Bud. You know, I can't let that comment now go... about me sounding like that abortion song, dude. So let's see for ourselves, shall we? We'll go ahead and end out the show with a comment from me and then the song from Little Marky. It's always been a popular one here, so if you've not heard it before, this might be your chance. Here we go.
A story made up all by myself. Here goes. It's called The Boy and the Worm. There once was a boy with his mother going fishing, and the boy took a worm. He brought
some
it
children
inside.
Are born with sickly hearts, and then the gentle fingers of the doctor performs miracles to make them healthy. But my heart is healthy. It beats so evenly. Tup, 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 tup. You shall have a healthy son, mother. December 28th. Today, my mother killed me.
Gosh, I don't know. I think I sound a lot more less aborted than Little Marky does there. But thanks again for joining our podcast. We're gonna wrap things up now. This is a really great episode 53, and I thank you all for joining. And I think next episode, I'm going to call it episode 54, if I don't mind myself. So we're going to leave you, since I've already got the Little Marky track queued up, with the very famous ending to this song. And if you'd like to learn more about that song, go get episode number 37 of our podcast. It's one of our best. In fact, that was kind of considered the golden age of our podcast before they ended up sucking a lot more than they do now. But check out episode 37. I also recommend episode 36. We had just back-to-back ones of this crazy Baptist preacher who goes on an anti-homosexual rant. And I'd say probably our third most popular of all time would have to be episode 14, where we read a bunch of hate mail from Juggalos, fans of the group Insane Clown Posse. So have a great day, and may all your days be Retro Crush days.
Why did you kill me, mommy, when God made me smile? show for you. Put my little arms around you. Why did you kill me, Mommy? Because I thought you really cared for me. And I wonder what I would have grown up to be. I guess I'll never know. 'Cause Mommy, you killed me.